Today we have a series of questions from Purushottam Das in the UK. And his question is, quote-unquote, on the topic of real love. So first, he says, what is love between two people in the material world? Is there such a thing, or is it a concoction of lust, desire, and attachment? Okay, well, based on the definitions of love, for instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Atman Dirya Priti Vancha Balikam, Krishnan Dirya Priti Dari Premanam. He says, Krishnan Dirya Priti Dari Premanam. If we use the word love, then in its pure sense, then it means to serve the senses of Krishna. And something, any type of activity, or any type of impetus to activity, any type of attachment, desire that serves one's own senses to any degree is called kam. And therefore, that love is not really pure, so you can't call it love. It's a mixture of other things. And this definition, he says, concoction, which means mixture. He says a mixture of lust, desire, and attachment. This is about right of what material love is about. We are by nature anandamaya abhyasat. We're pleasure-seeking living entities and rasavaisa, and we try to enjoy pleasure through rasa, through relationships, which means contact between senses and sense objects. And the attachment between and relationships between different people, whether it be husband and wife, parent and children, friends, relatives, acquaintances, business partners, and so on, is based on this definition of kam, atmendriya priti, giving, giving pleasure to myself. It's conditional. It's conditional on that. And when someone gives me pleasure and satisfies my desires, gross or subtle, then I become attached to that person. Bitaraga bhaya krodha. So, and those people who frustrate my desires, I become angry with them, or I don't have a detachment attachment for them. And when you mix all these things up, this becomes the impetus for material life, and this is what we generally really call love. We love someone for this motivation and for that specific result that we get. So it's not love. Rather, Shastra calls it kam. That doesn't deny its reality, that it's an intense experience and it's an intense attachment, but it's a misnomer. Whole world is rotating around this love, 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 love. Everyone's always talking about love, but actually that's not what it's about. And Srila Prabhupada would give the example that selflessness is most closely approached from the material point of view in the relationship between a mother and her child. Mothers tend to be the most selfless. It doesn't mean that they're selfless. It doesn't mean that it's love, because, as we said here, love means pleasing Krishna's senses. So just because you're selfless in your relationship, in your family relationship, doesn't make you pleasing to Krishna. It doesn't give you a particular connection with Krishna. Just being detached from material life doesn't necessarily automatically make you attached to spiritual life. And, well, here his subsequent question is, As devotees, we're supposed to transcend material love to try and develop love for Krishna. How? Real love is there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It's there within the heart of everyone. And that is actually why we have our impetus for trying to be happy and trying to love in this world, because real love is there, dormant in our heart. But because we forget Krishna, because we're in ignorance and illusion, therefore we think that someone else other than Krishna is able to actually make us happy, to reciprocate with our love. And that's what we find out as being the sources of frustration. So love, 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 love. But then we see that all of these persons who love us, ultimately they frustrated us, generally speaking, especially more and more in Kali Yuga. Why? Because their desires for enjoyment are not compatible with our desires for enjoyment. When we talk about people being compatible with each other, we take a karmic astrological test. We see that are these people going to get in conflict over what they want from each other in this world? And if they have similar likes and desires, in other words, if they have similar desires for sense gratification, then we say that they're compatible. And those people remain very attached to each other because they're getting from each other what they want. And whereas people who don't get from each other what they want, then we say that they're incompatible. So, of course, that also has its risks, being too attached. Srila Prabhupada pointed out to his... Srila Prabhupada's father pointed out to Srila Prabhupada that it's better that you don't get married to someone who you're too attached to, because then it may be difficult to break that attachment or to actually transform that attachment. Yes, so devotees are supposed to transcend material love. How do we do that? Well, in 14th chapter, Krishna explains how we use, when material attachment, and that's Narada Muni also begins Bhagavatam like that, when we use material attachment, when we regulate it, when we engage it in Krishna service, simultaneously engaging in spiritual activities to purify the heart, because generally speaking, no one can live without some type of relationship or some type of attachment. And we cultivate quality transcendental knowledge. Then gradually, we become free from that type of attachment. That's called regulating the senses. You regulate your senses, you regulate your conduct, you ensure that your attachment doesn't enslave you, and it doesn't become stronger and stronger. But rather, you gradually try to become free from it. And then, of course, the force of circumstance. We have that phrase in English. Circumstance has force. And particularly, Krishna's circumstance. Krishna makes arrangements when he sees that we are too attached materially. When he sees devotees are too attached materially, then he frustrates their attachment. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita described that. So, regulated lifestyle, a good social structure that supports that, strong spiritual activities, that help us to actually transform that material attachment to, and directed to attachment to Krishna. His third question is, the longer we practice Krishna consciousness correctly, is this supposed to awaken our love for Krishna? Yes, of course. That's what we're here for, awakening our love for Krishna and not engaging in activities that compromise our love for Krishna. Is it different for each individual due to past karmic activities and attachment to develop this love? The general principles, the instruments that we use, if I can call them that, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with Vaishnavas, having nice regulated spiritual activities. Yes, that is always the same. However, we are individuals. We have individual karma. And therefore, we have different types of attachments. We're attached to different types of things. We have different issues that we need to resolve within this world. But it's the same. The same medication helps us to cope with all of those things, despite the fact that everyone will have some type of different experience and different baggage to carry with them throughout life. Just like, for instance, cooking. The same spoon, same knife, same pot, the same stove cooks many different types of preparations, whole variety of preparations, but you have the same utensils. So similarly, the same utensils that Srila Prabhupada gave all of us, different people, when we use them to practice Krishna consciousness, then as different as we are and as different as our karmas are, we ultimately get the same result, which is to awaken our love for Krishna. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful to conduct our lives in such a way that those types of natural attachments that are there, that they don't become stronger, they don't increase, but that gradually that they decrease. And that's what the regulated principles of freedom that Krishna refers to in the Bhagavad Gita mean. You have to live that type of lifestyle. Otherwise, as Prabhupada would say, trying to light a fire and pouring water on it at the same time, then that really does not work. But thankfully, Krishna's there. And particularly for devotees who have rendered service, who are chanting Hare Krishna, then when he sees that they're really stuck in some particular attachment that becomes an obstruction to becoming attached to him, then he manages that situation in such a way that they give it up. Sometimes it's painful, but in fact, more often than not, it will be painful, and we should all be prepared for that. But that's what it means when Krishna steps into our lives. Sometimes there's this argument that if actually God really loved us, then you know why doesn't he interfere with our free will? Well, Krishna doesn't particularly interfere with our free will, but he does generate circumstances where it becomes more or less impossible for us to act in some kind of other way than approaching him. And that's good. Otherwise, we would be in trouble. Hare Krishna.